I'd ask you to turn with us to the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 8. 1 Kings in chapter number 8. I was reading through this passage of Scripture last night and got hung up and just couldn't get away from it. And so I began to look at it a little closer, a little deeper, and see what the Lord would have in store for us, and thank God for what He's done here recently. Thank God for the messages on mercy. Thank God for how He's using Brother Darren just to rightly divide the word unto us. But I began to look last night and begin to read through 1 Kings in chapter number 8. When finding your place, if you would stand, 1 Kings chapter number 8, and we'll begin reading in verse number 5. 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse number 5, the Bible says, "And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." God being our helper this morning, I want to preach on this thought, looking for that cloud. Our Father God, Lord, I thank Thee for this day. God, I thank Thee, God, You've allowed us, Father, to come boldly into the throne of grace. Father, I thank Thee, God, that, Lord, You hear all our prayers. Father, there's nothing, God, that slides by You. And God, You're well aware of the situation and the current status of each and every heart, Father, that stands by today. I pray, God, You'd help us to preach, Father. God, I can't do it without You. And Lord, I ask, Father, You'd show up, God, today and anoint the hearing thereof. Father, I pray You'd help Your people, God, to, Lord, understand, Father, Lord, what we're trying to get across, Father. Understand, God, Lord, how You've let us see things and understand this Scripture. I pray, Father, today, God, You'd convict hearts. I pray, Father, You'd help Your people. Touch us, God, today, we pray. Be with our pastor, Father, as he's away. I pray, God, You'd give him unction, Lord, and liberty to preach. Father, I pray You'd illuminate his mind. And God, I ask, Father, You'd help us, Father, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for, Lord, His blessings and His mercy. But I began to read last night, and I just couldn't get away from when the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." I say, I thank God we've seen that cloud many times here at Bethel. There's been many times that God has showed up in such a way that the man of God couldn't even stand, even bear record, because it was so thick. But seems like in this day and age, seems like as we go along, it's hard to keep the cloud around because we get confused, we get mind-boggled, we get our head so wrapped up with this world and things going on. God burned me last night to be looking for that cloud. Man ought to strive to hunt that cloud day in and day out. Man ought to strive to go after that cloud. In everything that we do, man ought to be hunting for that cloud. I think about where we're at here. This is Solomon. He's just built this great temple. Okay, he's come into power. He's come into reign. He's built this great temple. His dad David was begging to build a temple all his life. I mean, he went so many years, I mean, had a vision to see this temple built, had a vision that maybe under his reign that this temple would be built, and God said no. God said it's not going to be that way, but said your son Solomon is going to have this temple built. And he come here, Solomon's built this temple, and we've come here to chapter 8, and he's gathering everybody up, all the heads here of all the tribes, and he's gathering them up and bringing them unto the house that they might dedicate this temple. As we come into verse number 5, then the king Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Now let me say this. To this point, the ark, the tribe of Levi was over top of the ark. They carried the ark everywhere the ark went. If the ark had to be moved, if God said it was time for the ark to go, the tribe of Levi was the only ones to touch the ark, pick it up and carry it, and they went. And so now as we see, they've been pretty much just wherever God leaded, the ark was to go, and that's where they was going to do their sacrifice, and that's where they go meet with God. Well, now God has allowed the man of God, Solomon, to build a temple, and he's built a specific place, a sacred place, a secret place, that the ark could be sent, and it could be sent from there on out, and it wouldn't have to be moved no more. There'd be one central location that they could come to and find the ark and find power and find God and find him there, and they could come and wouldn't have to try to follow and just, you know, weary through the land, but they'd have one place that they could go. As we come into chapter 8, they brought the ark, and it says here in chapter 8, in verse number 6, says, and the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. And there was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put therefore at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the whole glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I see, first of all, I see the powerful position of this cloud. Here in verses 6 through 18, I'll continue to read. In verse number 12, the Bible says, then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I choose no city out of the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein, but I choose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. We see here this position. We see here is there's been a vision, and thank God for it. And there's been a vision up to this day. And that's what's got Solomon to where he's at, is because his forefather, his father, has had a vision and brought him up to where he is. And now we see as they go in, the priests, they go into this secret place. And I can only, as I was sitting last night, begin to fathom and imagine as they was going into a secret place. And I would think it would be much like what we're at today. That'd be a big old secret room, and it's special. I mean, very special. You think about men like Brother Bobby and Brother Damon. They say they've carried the ark all these years. Ain't never really had a place to set it down. Ain't never really had a place. They've just carried it with them. And thank God for it. But they've carried. They've had a vision. Well, maybe one day God will bless this church. Maybe one day God will give us something. Maybe one day God will give us a place to set it down. And then comes a day, and they've built, and God's allowed this place to be built here. God's allowed Bethel to come up on the hill beside a major highway. God's allowed Bethel to be raised up. God's allowed Bethel to build this beautiful building. And I can only begin to fathom and think and imagine as they became and they got serious with God and trying to do what God had have them to do. It says they went into a secret room, and they went in this secret room, and they got right with God, and they went searching after gold. God, whoa! They went after God, went a searching for him, went a looking for him, and they found him, and they got in there with him, and got to looking at how great he is, how beautiful he is. Got to thinking about his feet. Got to thinking about his hair and his eyes. Says when they come out, says they were so much filled with glory that they couldn't even begin to say what was going on. Couldn't even begin to minister and witness. And I can only begin to fathom as the glory of the Lord came out. And I've watched houses be on fire and how smoke rose. And it come out of the door, come out and bank to the floor, and come out and go to the high spot. And the low spots, the Bible says there, as they come out of the door and they come out of the room, it says there in verse number 10, it says it came to pass when the priests that were come of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. That word filled is the Hebrew word male, and it means to fill or to be full. Says the fullness and abundance. I think about now, thank you Lord, this cup right here is full. It's absolutely full. There ain't an empty spot in it. I mean, every way you turn it, this cup is full. Says the fullness thereof. Says that when they come out of that room, that God got real, and God wanted to show up, because God was well pleased, because somebody went after God. Somebody went and searched for God. Somebody wanted God bad enough that they put him in a special place, and they went after him, and they went searching for him, and God showed up. It says here, I think about this position. It's so powerful. How God filled the place up. And I can only begin, Bethel having so much God on it. Bless God that when people travel out and travel in, you think about there being so much God that when you open my door, the glory and the smoke just go out in the world. I couldn't even begin to think as if I was being driving down 19. And every time I come by here, this church holds a special place in my heart. I thank God for this place. Say, why is that, preacher? Because I can come here and I can meet with God. I can get a hold of God. If I'm struggling, I'm going through a battle, I'm going through strife, I'm fighting the devil, I know I can come here to Bethel and I can find God. Say, why is that, preacher? Because these men like Brother Bobby and like others like Miss Crandall, our secret prayer warriors, bless God, the women of the dark and the women of the night that's praying for you when you think there wasn't nobody praying. They've come here and they've carried, and God's given them a building. And then God took a wall out right here and gave them a bigger building. And said, what'd they do? They didn't stop there. They kept going after God, kept searching for him and looking for him and wanting more of God. I can't even begin to fathom. Hey, I'd be driving. Every time I come by, I look at the church, and as I go mine, I survey and make sure the steeple's still there. Make sure there ain't no shingles flew off. Or make sure the parking lot looks clean. Every time I drive by, but I couldn't even begin to fathom, Brother Keith, if I was to drive by
and watch the doors open up. And there'd be so much God that just a fog roll out of the building. I'd pile it up. Say, why is that? Because I want to get in on what God's doing. I want to be here and see how God's moving. I want to show up and see what God's got in store and how He's moving and how He's working and how He's blessing His people. I think about these two things, how this smoke here, this fog, this cloud, how it's so powerful and how its position is powerful. First of all, its powerful position. You see two things here in verses 16 through 18. I see the power of its position because of the praise. We see the praise here in verse 17. And it says, and it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. I think about in Ezekiel chapter number 4. I'll turn over there. You don't have to turn. But I see in Ezekiel chapter number 8, in verse number 4, the Bible says, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. I think not only there, I think about over in the book of Proverbs. In chapter number 29, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, in chapter number 29, in verse number 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I think you think about David. He had a vision the whole time. When God set him over top of Israel, when God set him as the leader, and David was to guide him, was to direct him, was to get ahead of him and follow God, and they'd follow David because he was following God. They wasn't following David just because he was David, just because he was little old David. Come have a sheep fall in the field, following the sheep, guiding the sheep, watching over the sheep. God chose David because he was swarping the slop and doing the low man's job, and God said, I'm going to bless thee and put thee over the head, and David said, I'm not going to let that go to my head, but I'm just going to stay humble and follow God. Say, why is that? Because I want to see the glory of God shine round about. So the people got behind David because he had a vision. Thank God for our pastor. He's got a vision. And I want to get behind that man because that man is following the man. He's watching what the man has to say and doing everything that God would have him to do. And he's got a vision. And because of that position, because the glory was there and the cloud was there and God was there, because there was a little praise, I see that praise. Second of all, I see here not only the powerful position, but I see the proclaiming prayer in verse number 20 through 36. The Bible says, and the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I have set thee there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants and walk before thee with all their heart. And we'll jump down to verse number 26. The Bible says, and now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will the God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have you respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward his house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer
which thy servant shall make toward his place. You think about it now. Solomon's praying. He's opening up in prayer. He's done got it down pat. He knows if God is going to show up, there's going to have to be prayer involved. There's going to have to be praise involved. And Solomon looks to the Lord there, and we see in verse number 28, says, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. Solomon looked to him and said, God, do you hear what I'm saying? God, do you hear what we have? God, are you hearing what's taking place? I see this prayer. For any time you won't see glory showed up, you got to go to him in prayer. I'm serious. Prayer is the most powerful thing and so much the most unused tool we have. That's about like your car's got to have gas to go and you trying to make your car go without any gas. It ain't going to happen. If you won't see power of God, you got to go to him in prayer. Get a hold of him. So as Solomon says, Solomon's getting a hold of God and praying to him. And Solomon's going to him. I mean, Solomon even opens up and says in verse 23, he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Key phrase. That keepeth that covenant with those that walk with him with all thine heart. You can't walk with him with one foot in slop and marsh and one foot in glory. It don't work like that. I mean, say, why is that? Because there's a fence there. And if you've ever seen a fence on a rolling hill, that hill's not going to be one straight road. And you just can't walk with one foot in the slop, one foot in the glory, and just go on. Because that hill's going to roll. There's going to be valleys low, and there's going to be mountains high. There's going to be valleys low, and mountains high, and over rocks and down through rivers and back up mountainsides and up by high cliffs. And you ain't going to be able to stand with one foot in the slop and one foot in the glory. It just ain't going to be that way. You've got to follow God on a true path day in and day out. But I'm looking for that cloud, church. I mean, revival was so good. And God was so good. God ain't changed. The Bible says there is no God like thee. Amen. There ain't none like him. I'm afraid we're getting away from what God blessed us with. I'm afraid we're getting away. God wanted to give revival and it was good. Say, what happened? Somebody's getting away from God. Somebody's going away from God. Somebody's not living with God. Somebody ain't gone the way God have you to go. Say, how's that? Because life's getting intriguing. The world's getting entertaining. Say, the preacher, it was so good, but then here came struggle, and here came trial. That's a part of being a Christian. It ain't always going to be easy, loved one. But keep your head down and go. That's what God wants you to do. I want to see the cloud. I'm looking for it. I want the cloud here every time I roll through the door. I want to see God. I think about thirdly and I'll be done. I think about the promise and protection of this cloud. This cloud here, it'll show up and it's got a powerful position. It'll show up when you put proclamational prayer to it. You dedicate a prayer life to God. But I think thirdly, when the cloud shows up, it's got promise and protection that you just can't get away from. I think about, and I'm going to read a couple verses here in the latter half of chapter 8. Verse number 38, the Bible says, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house. Solomon's saying there, he said, what prayer and supplication? Listen, let's go back. Let me get you better understanding. Verse 37, the Bible says, if there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be. Verse 38 says, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. And Solomon's saying here, he said, no matter what the plague, no matter what the pestilence, no matter what happened, no matter how much rot you got in your life, no matter how much stink you're dealing with, no matter how dirty you are, because every one of you, including myself, we are filthy little humans. That's what we are. It don't matter. I could live the closest walk to God and I'd still be dirty. But Solomon says, Caleb, no matter how dirty you are, no matter how much you went off and lived in sin this week, and no matter how much you nasty, you mucus little selfish flesh, I mean, no matter how dirty you are, no matter how you look like a big fat booger and you big fat nasty little monsters, that's all you are, like a big Toy Story Disney movie, ain't nothing but a bunch of filthy little yellow minions. God still loves you. God says if you'll just come back, just come back and pray. Just come back and cry to God. Just come back and get right with God. Amen. Is that not what the Bible just said? Amen. God loves you and wants you to have glory. Amen. God wants to show up. Say, I can't figure it out, preacher. I'm going through life. I'm struggling. I'm tearing. I'm going on. It seems like I come to church and nothing's happening, and the preacher's preaching on mercy. Preacher's preaching on love. Preacher's preaching on reaping benefits that we didn't sow, and then having harvest out of food and food plots and things, and God's giving us food that really ain't even ours. The preacher, I don't even understand, because you're getting away from God. I don't know how much else to give it to you. I think about not only in verse 38, but the Bible says in verse 42, for they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm when he shall come and pray toward this house. And jump down to verse number 45. Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause if they sin against thee. For there is no man that sinneth not. Does your Bible say that? For there is no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that then carry them away captive unto the land, the enemy far or near. I'll jump over and think about verse 57. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. You think about this now. We're going to searching for the cloud. And God wants that cloud to show up. He does. I can't get away from it. But I'm warning you, Christian.
God has burdened my heart. I'm warning you. You've got to be looking for that cloud. As the Bible says in verse number 6, it says, so what the world might know that there is a God and there is none else. The Bible is that black and white. God wants you to take this Bible and tell the world that there is a God and there is none else. It's as simple as that. God have all the mercy in the world on thee. But the world's got to know that there is a God, that there is none else. There is a God, and there is none else. So how are we going to do that? You got to go looking for that cloud. We got to go hunting that cloud. I need some Christians to go with me hunting that cloud. Because God ain't going to show up if it's just one. The Bible says we're two or three. It could be just your preacher, and God ain't going to do nothing because it's just one. I mean, he'll bless your preacher and take care of him. But if you want to see him show up in a mighty multitude like they is here, it's got to be two or three, or four or five or 15 or 20. Or like Solomon said, he went and got the whole multitude. The whole nation of Israel got the heads, and the heads brought their tribes, and the tribes brought their people, and they came in a multitude, innumerable. And they went after the cloud. They got serious with God. You stand to your feet. Seth, you come play. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My heart's burned. There's somebody here, and I'm needing you. God's needing you. We're needing you. Bethel needs you. This country needs you. To go hunting for that cloud. We need that cloud. We need that glory. We need it, church. Oh, God, how we need it. That the world might know that there is a God and there is none else. And God wants to use Bethel. He wants to use Bethel. Say, how are they going to use us? They'd be a few. It's going to go a hunt for that cloud. We need you. These people hitting the altar. Maybe you be here today. Maybe you found that cloud. Lord God, that's great. Maybe you just want to thank God that the cloud's in your life. And I believe they might be a few that the cloud's in your life right now. And you ought to get down here and thank him for it. Because I'd hate to have the cloud leave. It's left my life. There have been times that the cloud's been there and the cloud has left my life. Say, why is that? Because I strayed from God. Got away. Thank God. God said, I'll have mercy on thee if you'll just come back and pray. And whatsoever you pray, I'll hear it. That's a God we serve. Maybe you're here today and you're lost. You're going to hell and you know it. I'd like to pray for you. Maybe anybody. At all. Our Father and our God.